It's Tuesday, 4th of November 2014. This is HBR episode 1632 entitled Shades of Beer 0002 Wichita Brewing Company and is part of the series LibreOffice. It is hosted by 5150 and is about 51 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to 5050@linuxbasement.com or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is Beer Drinking Same Part 2.
This episode of HBR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HBR15. That's HBR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Howdy folks, this is 5150 again for Hacker Public Radio, and thank you this evening for joining me on a very special 5150 Shades of Beer. Yes, I've come up with a name for the series. This is going to be a little different because tonight we're not going to be talking about microbrews that I purchased from a package store. But you will remember in the first episode that shopping for replacement furniture and other things for a rental home, and of course eventually it'll go into the new house when it's built, has afforded me the opportunity to make a few trips to the one city of much of any size. Well, I apologize, Kansas City, but Kansas City, Kansas isn't that big by comparison. Of course, I mean the air capital, Wichita. And on this last trip, well, second to last trip, I was just, well, I tell you what, I've been taking the opportunity to go to some, like, fast food restaurants, you know, car specialty boutique fast food restaurants, because Dad, you know, when he's with me, he wants to do the big eating experience. So there's places that I've passed along there. So that looks neat. I'd like to try that. You know, there's Spangles. Well, I've been in Spangles. Dad's been in Spangles. It's a, Wichita sort of higher end fast food tradition. And there's another one I noticed. Oh, what's his name? I'll come back to it later in the show, but it's somebody's, and the reason I'm going to come back to it later in the show, I found at least on this computer of Audacity, if I stop in the middle and start over again, it doesn't like that. It wants to start over clear from the beginning, and I gotta slide everything or make a separate recording, and I've had the thing hang up on me every time I've tried to stop and start in the middle. So until I figure that out, it's going to be stream of consciousness. But yeah, I've several times in Wichita with Dad going doctor's appointments, whatnot, passed this steak burger and custard, or steak burger and frozen custard place. And they both sounded pretty good. So second last time in Wichita, because the first time was to pick up the lift chair. The first time was to order the lift chair. They didn't have anything in stock. Second time was to pick it up in the transport van. And I thought, well, let's check the custard place. And the furthest west one, which had been closest to me, though it was also rather north from Kellogg, which is 54 Highway, of course, for anybody familiar with Kansas, and none of you folks would be. You know, it was way, way north, and so I followed my GPS. Like I was starting to question my GPS. You know, where is it taking me? And, you know, have you guys noticed that with Google Maps lately? I mean, mine is flaky. It always gets me. If I trust it, well, there was one time it didn't get me where I was supposed to go. I was like an hour late figuring out where it was. It's not good with these little, medical complexes and industrial parks, you know, these little streets that, you know, they're sort of made up by the people who build the park, the contractors or whatever, whoever lays out the park. And, you know, I don't think Google really knows that much about, necessarily knows where those streets are. So it took me clear, you know, no, I don't think I ever mentioned them because I haven't done any podcast much, but, my first, appointment with the burn doctor, which is not as ominous as it sounds, you know, I did really, really well. You know, as far as healing goes, I wasn't that bad hurt. And the healing went really, really fast. But, you know, it took me to a place, you know, blocks and blocks and half the city away from where I should be. And it was sort of strange because, you know, St. Francis Hospital does the burn treatment or is primary for burn treatment in Wichita. I drove right past a place that, you know, a St. Francis clinic, which is nowhere near the hospital, but it's got, you know, where some of the St. Francis doctors have their offices. So I thought, well, this has got to be the place. Turns out it wasn't. I went in there. I said, no, we need your doctor in here. So we'll do some calling around. Well, I finally found it on Google, ironically enough, and called them. Said, where are you people? They said, no, we're clear over here by Jabara Airport and whatnot, and gave me the direction. I finally found them. But, you know, they're really cool about, you know, the most doctors, you miss your appointment. Nah. You come back in 4 weeks. You know, these people were, oh yeah, you know, just, we'll see you when you get here. And I didn't have to wait very long in the waiting room or anything. They worked me in. So, yeah, this is pretty cool. And the doctor, you know, said, oh man, you're doing way too much, you know, when you spend too much, insurance money, you know, whatever, because they were having me go in every day and have my dressings changed. And said, no, just get you some white terry cloth towels from Walmart, wrap that sucker, you know, clean it up, quit trying to scrub yourself to death, but get a good clean, and wrap it up in a terry, you know, well, put the ointment on it, and then wrap it up in a terry cloth towel, and wrap an asbestos bandage around it to hold that, and, you know, and he said, the other arm, oh, that's healed, you know, just keep it out of the sun. And keep putting I had the cream on my face. Yeah, this is a joke. Well, I was going to do this on KPO, but I might as well do it here. You know, cause the first few weeks I couldn't wear a belt or anything. You know, just cause my thumbs and my fingers, were too messed up to, you know, to bring a belt or, you know, pants. Yeah, so I got like shorts from Walmart and holding them up with suspenders and had a couple white shirts and, you know, had all this white cream stuff on my face, burn cream on my face that was supposed to stay on there all the time. And they said, oh, you get really bad scarred unless you know, cause they were nagging me at the hospital. So you blow your nose, you wipe the stuff off, you know, and it's like, well, I need to blow my nose, you know. And they said, you know, you gotta leave that stuff on there. You'll be horribly scarred in the face. Well, you know. I got home and I didn't keep the regimen quite, you know, after the first few days quite that, well enough, I guess, cause I'm not horribly scarred in the face. I don't look any better than I ever did. I'm sorry, but, everything seems to work out fine. Man, I am way off topic here. Well, Ken's probably yelling, turn it into another podcast. All right. So on my way to this way out of my way steak burger and custard place, and when I finally got to the furniture store to pick up the chair, there was, you know, I'd done all this running around from that place then back to the furniture store. There's one across the street from the furniture store. I don't know if that's what I saw. No, I think I saw a third one yet was the one that I'd gone past a couple times and piqued my interest. As far as the steak burger and frozen custard place, the frozen custard was really, really pretty good. Steak burger, you know, it was, well, for fast food, it was a really good burger. I have to say that. As far as going in your local pub, restaurant, and ordering the burger, you know, no, it doesn't compare at all. But, you know, I can't fault them for that. A little spendy, you know, between the frozen custard and the steak burger, I'll have to say that. Not a place Dad would probably enjoy. Well, he would enjoy the custard. I don't think he could finish one anymore, but he would enjoy it. I don't think he'd be any more impressed by the steak burger than I am, but it's probably not a place I'm ever going to get to go when I'm not by myself. And now that I've been there, I truly don't feel a need to go there again. There's this other place that I did see and was very intrigued by driving by it that I did get to go the next time I went to Wichita. And that was just purely for relaxation. It was kind of snafu, or maybe I didn't keep up my end. You know, we'd had an idea when Dad was going to get out. And then out of the rehab and recovery, so it's kind of like a rest home with physical therapy and all that stuff. You know, I'm sure you guys have heard. He was, and for you guys just blown away, I'm talking about fire and whatever. Last weekend in June, and I'm sure if you listen to KPO, you've heard about this, or if you follow me on G+ or Facebook, I feel like pod people being on Facebook. I'm sorry, folks, but I guess I'm there. Resistance is somewhat futile. But if you follow me in any of those places, this story's been repeated by other podcasters. Last weekend in June, I got in late. I didn't get cleaned up till about 10 o'clock at night because my pickup broke down. And, and I've done some elaborate work on a very elaborate recipe. I don't know if it turned out very good anyway, because I already messed it up once. So I didn't want to alter it too much again. So it was called for, rather than like pan frying chicken, deep frying it in, submerged in oil. And the thing was, of course said, oh, it's 10 o'clock. There's nothing on TV now. I'll turn on Netflix and watch Doctor Who. You know what happened with me? Because I'm lazy and irresponsible, I watched Doctor Who for nearly 2 hours. Oh, wow, look at the time. I better, finish preparing this meal. And I did fill the wok with oil, turned the heat up on it, and I said, well, really, before we have this meal, I need to get Dad prepared for dinner, which takes a while. And so I thought I walked over and turned the burner off. What must have actually happened is I turned the burner up and, the rest is history. I went to go get stuff to get Dad ready and all of a sudden I knew whoosh and, lights went out because the breaker box is on the opposite side of the, wall from the stove. And I was out there in the porch where the fire extinguisher was. I thought I could put my hand right on it. And I fumbled around for a minute or maybe more and could not put my hand on the thing. And said, okay, I'm going to get Dad. We're going to go. Ironically, there was enough light from the fire to see, so I fired up his mobile chair, electric, wheelchair thing. And got over where I could pick him up and set him in the chair and out the house we went. So that's that story. Okay, so, now we're homeless. I shouldn't say. And thanks for everybody who contributed to the Fund Anything campaign. It's not the money so much as I'm just blown away by the support from folks out there, and people, I probably recognize you by handle, if not by name, so. And sorry I haven't been on KPO the last 2 weeks last 2 fortnights to acknowledge that. And, I wasn't there last fortnight because I was at a party thrown by my friend, which we're very slowly getting to. So the second trip into, Wichita. I drove by and saw this place, Wichita Brewing Company, on the corner 13th and Tyler. It looked very, very good. And you can see they also had like a pizzeria thing going, but obviously it was like a brew pub. So, after I'd had my, mediocre hamburger and fairly decent frozen custard, I went to the furniture store. Before I went in, I took the opportunity to call the number on the Wichita Brewing Company's website. I found their website. Really easy to find. In fact, it's wichitabrew.com if you want to follow along. And I asked them, Well, first, and then I clicked on their beer, and oh my goodness, if you like beer and you click, if you click on their beer list page, you know, your mouth is going to start watering. And I can tell you the pizza's that good too. But, so I said, man, I got to get some of this beer sometime. So I called him and says, you know, do you guys have it in bottles, or, you know, is it in any liquor store anywhere locally? And I said, no, we're planning for that. But really the only way we can let you take it out of the building is in a growler. And for you folks familiar with beer pubs, I don't know if you call it something, growler, something different in other countries. I think it's more of a European concept. A growler is like this, you know, big 64 ounce bottle. Not pressurized like beer in a store is. It's just a screw-on cap, and they just pour it from the tap in there, and you take it home, you put it in your fridge, and you drink it, and you share friends. So that's what I did when I came back a week later. I came back because a friend of mine on Facebook, a guy I knew from college, my fraternity, he said, you know, you really need to come up to my Oktoberfest that I'm throwing. You know, this is who this guy is. He throws his own Oktoberfest. And man, you should see that. I won't go too much deep. You should see this place that he's got out in the country. And it's like the whole community of other people, with houses about 1,000 feet apart, you know, in this great country setting and sharing some resources together. So, and you know, well, I'd like to retire to a place like that. But, you know, of course, all his neighbors came over, and everybody's supposed to bring a couple six packs of beer. And I thought, man, what a great opportunity. I'll go, when I get to town, I'll have some pizza, and I'll bring some growlers out there. I didn't know how many. I was going through the list. I'd had a couple, well, we'll get to it. I had a couple beers with my pizza, and then, you know, between that and the three growlers I brought, pretty much covered everything that I really wanted to taste that day. Though I do intend to go back, try different things. Everything was excellent. Again, including the pizza. But, so, let's see. And I, of course, the growlers I got were premium growlers. So they were usually growlers, $12 for filling and then $4 for the actual bottle. And the premium ones were $15. So, and all three that I got were that. And growlers, 64 ounce, of course, a six pack of beer would normally be 72 ounces. So I'm told I'm really spoiled around here at the price of beer, you know, that a lot of the microbreweries you can get, you know, for $8. And I'm told a lot of places in the country, you know, 10, $12 is normal for a microbrew 12 pack. So, you know, so fit the 15 for a premium, you know, small batch beer, you know, that doesn't seem too far out of reason. And if you look at the website, you got to look at this logo. Yeah, cause this comes from, of course, the picture of John Brown, that is in the Capitol building in Topeka. That's a big, huge mural across this wall. And I'll bet even our friends listening here internationally, you have seen this image, even if you didn't recognize who it was and who John Brown was and his relationship to the history of Kansas. I'm sure if you looked at this, you would know the mural that it comes from. And of course, so it's old John Brown, and he's got his arms outstretched, and he's got a mug of beer in each hand. So it's really great. Just for that, I had to go there. And so I'm holding glass, you know, in one hand. You'd think for all the beer I got, they would have given me the glass, but all right. Well, you know, it's a great glass. And I got three growlers, two of which I left for my host as house gifts, because, of course, they're going to have a lot better, easier opportunity to go back and get them refilled than I will. You know, I don't get to Wichita more than a couple times a year, usually. I may be looking for excuses now, but so I kept the one growler, and it's still, I've got at least a beer in there, if not a little more. So we'll start with that because, frankly, you kind of probably hear in the voice, I'm getting a little hoarse here. So give me a chance, and if you're on the Wichita Brewing page, then click on the beer link, and I'll give you a rundown on the just wonderful beers that I tried last weekend. Oh, and I guess I haven't talked detail about the private Oktoberfest. My friend Eric, he had all these little bigger than a shot glass, but numbered. You know, he's a graphics art sign creator by trade, so he's got all the stuff. I mean, etched glasses and said Oktoberfest, and each one was numbered, so if you set your glass down, you could find the same glass again. But, so instead of drinking whole beers, we're taking them by the dram. And, you know, his kids were helping out by bringing the beers around, so I could sit in a corner out in the courtyard and, you know, just sit there and drink these little shots of beer all night, and I was doing pretty good. No, I behaved myself, but, oh man, epic party. Thanks, Eric. So I'm not going to try to tell you about the beers we had at the party. It's not like I wasn't taking notes. Except the one, Ghost Pepper Face Killer. If you know anything about peppers, Ghost Pepper has the highest Scoville rating of any pepper. These things are literally lethal weapons. So, you know, it's about midpoint in the evening. Eric comes around with a bottle. And I hold out my I drain what's in the little glass and hold out my glass, and he pours me just a little, you know, about a quarter inch in the bottom of the glass, and it's like, well, it's what, your arm broken? He said, no, you want to try that. And so it was that Ghost Pepper beer, and oh my goodness, that stuff will light you up. And that's about as much as I had. I cannot imagine anybody drinking a whole beer, you know, a whole bottle, much less a six pack of that stuff. Which they must have had to, you know, I'm surprised it wasn't all around, you know, the other five weren't laying around the next day, because I got to bring some of the beers home with me. And no, I'm not going to review them either. They don't count. Okay, so, you know, that was the part. Excellent party, excellent opportunity to go to a really, really great brewery. And so, like I said, I'm thirsty, well, I'm hoarse and I'm thirsty. So, you know, let's scroll down here. If you come down, the one I brought home was a sour. And, you know, it's one I was hoping there'd be some left. I don't know. I think I got turned on to sours when, Tracy Holtz was talking about it on the old Pod Brewer show. You know, he and Dore had the, Monday episode, and Byer and I and Spork Saber and Red had the Thursday night show, I guess it was, and but Tracy did an episode on sours and how they're made. And well, what it is, it's a Belgian beer, and I also had the Saison, which is a Belgian ale. The Saisons are made, you know, in the winter months, but they're made to be drunk during the hotter months of the year. So, you know, essentially I get the farm laborers are almost paid in beer. You could have like five liters of beer a day. I'd go farm in Belgium for 5 liters of beer a day. But, they're made during the winter when, you know, things were less hectic. You know, they had extra help around. And it was made mainly to give to the migrant farm workers. So it wasn't necessarily, you know, back in the day, they're, you know, maybe not necessarily best effort, but they tend to be, you know, a little tart with a little fruitiness. Now, the sours, by contrast, they're made in the summer, and, traditionally, unlike every other beer, you know, beers are usually kept very well contained and sealed in their brewing environment to keep out what's called, wild bacteria. You know, you don't want the, You have to add bacteria for the yeast to grow and the beer to brew, but you want to be the bacteria that you intended to put in there. Whereas the sours, and maybe not so much anymore, I bet it's a little more controlled, but traditionally back in the day, the sours were done in open casks, and it was during the summer, you know, when everything was lively and growing, and you know, so that just whatever was floating through the air would be responsible for. And that was me taking the cap off the growler. So there's a little bit of natural fermentation there. But it makes a very interesting and different beer. You know, like I said, I've acquired a taste for it. I shouldn't say it. I don't know what. I know having sours a couple times is acquiring a taste. When we were back in Philly for OCP Live 1, last year's course 2014, it's 2013. Last Known God took us to one of his favorite, a brew pub that was one of his favorites. And, they had a sour. In fact, I kind of like the one in Philly maybe a little better. I think it had a little more sweet to it with the sour. Though, you know, and traditionally in Belgium, if you order a sour in Belgium or Germany, I guess they also have them in Germany, because Tracy said he got hooked on them when he was serving in Germany. But traditionally, and in Philly, not in Wichita, but in Philly, they give you, you know, the sweet syrup to pour into your beer. You know, and I tried it, you know, first without the syrup, and then I poured the syrup in to try it, and I really wish I'd left the syrup out. That's the sour in Philly. So it's and Tracy, I guess, he said that that's the way he prefers it. So, and if it wasn't such a unique, I mean, if every other beer was a sour in America, or at least every other microbrew, it's, you know, it's probably the uniqueness and the novelty more than, oh wow, I really like this. So, you know, but it's a good beer. And we're going to pour this in from the Wichita Brewing Company growler into the Wichita Brewing Company glass that I got for $5. Oh, sit down, then. I do not want to spill the remainder. It has sort of, well, the second sniff is a lot more sour. At first, it's a little maybe floral, fruity, sweet. That's just the aroma. And it's kind of a sweet and sour taste, mainly sour. Like I said, a lot of folks, you know, if this is, I think it's going to be acquired taste for folks. If you're adventurous, you know, try sour, because you can find them now in the stores. It's just that, well, one of my trips to the Wichita grocery stores, well, that was my second visit this summer, but I said, I hate to encourage these breweries that, you know, only give you 4 12-ounce beers in a pack rather than 6 and then charge a premium for 4 beers, you know, because I've had those and, you know, there's some of them are pretty good, but man, not for effectively half again or more the price, than other microbreweries. So, and I asked them, well, do you have any sours that aren't in those little 4-packs? And he said, well, we got that, you know, we got a bunch of them. I said, well, I didn't see them. He said, no, those are, oh, not the 4-packs. No, we don't have any art in 4-packs. But he said the sours cost more to produce. Yeah, I imagine they do. Probably more just the novelty rather than any additional cost, because, you know, you're just leaving the top of the cask off. Okay, let me take another sip here. My throat feels much better now. So, you know, sweet on the tongue at first, and then, you know, more sour. Don't really detect a whole lot of hoppy taste there. So, you know, yeasty maybe? I told you guys before, more, better tasting beer than brewing it, explaining beer. Maybe we should have Tracy come on as a guest. We can just cut in everything that from Pod Brewers, where at length they explained to Dor what each type of beer was on the first few episodes. Or better yet, save us the trouble, go back and listen to Pod Brewers. It was a great show. It's still out there at podbrewers.net. Okay. So, yeah, but I did like the sour. Let's see. I think that's under Belgian sour. Huh. I know I saw it on the website. But I don't know. Main series, I do not see it right now. I see the Dubbel, which I also had. I see the Saison. See the Imperial IPA. Is that the one I had? I don't think it's the one I had. No, I had the Catherine 3 Imperial IPA. Here I'm doing, giving you previews. All right, so let me go back to the, I can tell you from this list which ones I had. Started out when I was in there eating the pizza. Oh, let me jump to the pizza. I've talked about beer. Let me jump to the pizza for a minute. And, you know, this is one of those tragically hip sort of, especially pizza places. There are a lot more, barbecue pizza, chicken pizza, stuff like that than there is traditional, Italian sausage and stuff pizza. But, the one I had was the Itis, and that is more of a Italian pizza, and it's essentially like two thin, it's about 9 inches, little spendy maybe for single person pizza, but then you look at Pizza Hut and what you're spending for what you get. I don't know if these guys that have the, Eastern pizza fetish would approve. I think they might like this. It's essentially two thin crust pizzas, one on top of the other. Because there's two layers of dough. And some of the ingredients are between the layers and some of them are on top. But it says that layered dough, add a layer to, cream cheese, that's why it was kind of sweet. An American cheese, Italian sausage, and spicy capicola. I know I'm butchering that. So that's the description. It is, must be the cream cheese. There was sort of a sweet taste. Well, there was a sweet taste to it. If you don't like Hawaiian pizza, you probably want to make another selection. So, and there's other stuff besides pizza on the menu and, all kinds of appetizers and whatnot. Okay, so that's the one pizza. I didn't try every pizza. I'll get there. There's this place that I could probably bring Dad. He likes pizza. Okay, so let's go back to the beers page. Beers. Okay, the first one I had was the Belgian Dubbel. And this is interesting. A lot of the Dubbels are often sweet. This was sort of fruity sweet. And I think that may be more, actually traditional European. I think the ones I've had here, I wouldn't say were fruity. I think they may be more like that. Actually, if you go to Belgium. It says Lance heavily sweet from the use of candy sugar, characteristic of the style. So, you know what a Belgian ale tastes like. That, it's a little a Dubbel is a little stronger in alcohol usually, and than a regular ale, and a little sweeter. And I think a triple is more like a stout. Maybe a little more, more alcohol, but also a little more hoppy. This was not really hoppy at all. Okay, and then the second one I had with my meal, I figure I get away with two, is the Valley View Vanilla Porter. And the menu says, is it a beer or dessert? Well, I don't know. That was what I found, very intriguing about the Vanilla Porter. It was not really very sweet. It was more like a nutty vanilla taste. I mean, you could taste vanilla, but it was not, certainly not a syrupy sweet beer, so I quite liked it. And then I had the three growlers, and the first of those that I had were the was the sour. That was the one I really wanted to try. So I think I don't know what else I can say about it. I mean, you know, if you like a sour, I think I don't think you'll be disappointed. And of course, the second one was the Saison. And even see that one open. Eventually got open. It was got passed around and couldn't, you know, you can't tell from the bottle, of course, because the growls are all the same, but it was off. They write it on the cap when they fill it. But, filled my little glass and I said, that is definitely the Saison, because the other two, at least I got a full mug. When I got the Saison, it was just a little glass. I got it a couple times. I had less than that than any of the other growlers, that I brought with me. Like I said, the Saison is originally brewed in Belgium during the winter to give to the migrant workers, that come around in the summer. And some of these I can see on the list I definitely would have tried if they'd been on the list, had they been available. I think the list actually at the restaurant's a little different from the list online. And they've got a Facebook page. If you're really interested, you live in Wichita, you may want to look at their Facebook page. Because I said the Facebook page is more, when I talked to the guy on the phone that one time, he said the Facebook page is a lot more current than the website is. So there's, yeah, let's see. So, because I don't see, here it is. Fruit Delice Mango Saison. Mango, okay, yeah. That's a pretty good description of it. And the rest of the description is basically what I've told you about what a Saison is. Say hint of funk, because, you know, if you find a sour is a bit much for you, try a Saison. And then I had the Catherine III Imperial Ale. And, oh, man. I just had the one, I had a full glass of it, just the one. I went back to get some more, and that one was empty. So I think that was the hit of the party, or at least the hit of the ones I brought. oh, man, rich, smooth, imperial, you know, just definition of imperial stout. And it looks like here on the list, you know, they may have a couple different imperial. You know, I didn't see them on the ones available to me that day, but they, and of course some things are seasonable. I should have grabbed one of the programs or menus brought it with me. So let's see. Starting from the top on the menu is the vanilla porter. We've had that. I stayed away from the hoppy stuff. Because you guys know I'm not a hoppy. I mean, I don't mind. I said on the previous show, my favorite beer is one I haven't tried yet. So it doesn't mean I won't pick up a hoppy beer and try it. Doesn't mean I don't like some medium hoppy beers. I'm usually something that's incredibly hoppy. Yeah, I'll try it once and I probably won't get it again. Not to mean I don't really, you know, don't appreciate it, but there's just stuff that I like better. Okay, so the next one down is V.6 IPA. It's Top Heads Unite, so it must think it's fairly hoppy. The next one's Half Wit Wheat. I don't think I saw that on the list when I was there, but I like me some wheat beer. Thunder Blonde. It's about the hockey club. I'd probably jump over that one anyway. Then the Belgian Double, which I told you about. The 502 Amber. Caramel and Toasted Malt Dance Across the Palate. With American Hop Flavor Balancing. So this is going to be more on the hoppy side. The English Mile. Now, this is interesting because the English beer, they serve both cold, you know, as American beers are, and just slightly chilled. In other words, they apparently store the cask in the basement, and of course, it's all on tap. So they call it at basement temperature. So you could really get the real warm beer or English warm beer experience if you order the genuine British beer. Another hoppy beer, one hopper pale ale, and the rest they say are seasonal, the Saison. I guess you wouldn't want to serve a Saison in the winter. You want to keep it traditional. Keeper of the Grains. I didn't see that one, so it's probably a winter beer. I didn't see it when I was in the restaurant. Malt Bomb of a Beer. In collaboration with Goble Liquor. Okay, Goble Liquor, I've seen their ads. It's a liquor store in Wichita. Brewed with Kansas wheat and barley. So, yeah, I bet that's one I would really, really like. And another Imperial IPA. So now we're down the Epic series. Robtimus Chinook Imperial IPA. It's a single hop. Okay, Chinook Imperial IPA with River City Brewery, Hank is Wiser Brewery, and Walnut River Brewery Company. So these are other places I should go check out. 8% APV and 105 IBU. So that's a measure of hoppiness. Okay, not Imperial Stout, Imperial IPA, duh. So I'd probably stick with the Stout, but I'd try this, you know. Is it, you know, take one for the team? No, I like a good IPA. Seal Team 6 Black IPA, dark beer, subtle roast character. I'm just reading the website, you understand that. I didn't get to try all these. Light chocolate and malt notes. Oh, that'd be pretty good. Mass Hysteria Rye. I do like me some rye beer. Spicy rye character. Haunts the senses. Has this frighteningly balanced epic ale. Disguises its strength. Okay. Moderate in carbonation and medium full body. Yeah, I don't think that was on the list. I definitely would have got that. Barrel aged beer. Sicilia 1. From Napa Valley Wine Barrels. Okay, so it's, it gets its name because, it says it is a sour, and it gets the name because one of the wine barrels they got from Napa Valley had the word Sicilia written on it in crayon. So, undertones of passion fruit. Okay, so that might be more like the one I had back east, more of a fruity flavor along with the sour. Okay, 10 IBUs, so, yeah, you can, well, the Catherine 3 was 76, so it's fairly hoppy. 10, you know, not so much. And let's see, I can't even pronounce it. Yuska Britha Shiraz Aged Belgian Barley Wines. For Shiraz is another type of wine, so it must be Shiraz Cass again. Oh, dark and warming with notes of currants. And the barley wine is something that's really high ABV. I think anything over about 9 is considered barley wine rather than a beer legally. So, Anchor Brewing Company, they have a barley one. It's a little spendy too. Oh, but man, that is nice. That is very good. Well, that's 11 APV. And some of these coming soon. It's like a milk stout, a brown. I like these. A lot of these were already on the menu. Coca Dos Porter, I would have tried that if it had been there. Probably the Milk Stout 2. Brown IPA. Oak Aged Yumpkin Pumpkin. I think that was on there, but, you know, I'm pretty heavy on pumpkin ales from my first trip into Wichita that I haven't got to. So, Oak Aged 4 Monk's Belgian Quad Ale. So that's probably more like a triple, or is there a quad? I don't know. What's it? And Oak Aged Mango Sour. Oh, man, that sounds like it'd be good. And here we go. You know, must not have had that on the menu, because I definitely would have had that. Kilt Shredder Scotch Ale, laddie. Yep. Like to break into a whole big barrel of that with Thistle Web. Sweet and malty with a warming alcoholic backbone, this mahogany ale is an excellent pairing to enhance the savory character of your meal. Grainy and caramel notes provide complexity that improves glass and beer is a warm that will appear to a wide range of palates. I don't know, Scotch ale really appeals to a wide range of palates. I think it's more of a acquired. I mean, I love it, but I don't know if it's for every, you know, I don't think it's for the average bud drinker. Of course, like the average bud drinker is not going in this place. Maybe for the pizza. I think they'd shoot you if you ordered a bud. Probably not. And I think if you go on Facebook, and I should have been very prepared to go on Facebook, but I've covered the beers that I actually tasted. And, you know, so there was not a clinker among them. So, you know, if you find yourself in Wichita, get your tail to the corner of 13th and Tyler. And that's sort of really north and pretty far west in Wichita. If you had a 2-hour layover, you might be able to make it there and back at the AirCap, or Midcontinent rather. They're going to change the name, aren't they? But for now, it's Midcontinent. And most people are saying, why would I ever land in Kansas? Okay, well, fine. This is where I am, and 70-mile trip is about as good as I'm going to do to get to a good brew pub. So, well, that's been the rather long, 48 minutes. Of course, there's some pauses there, so once I take them out. And I did real good with ums. I don't think I'm going to have to edit this at all, except for, there's an There's another and another I feel like the knights who say neep. But, and another one. See, I'm messing up my whole record here. And I could just chop this off, but I'm not going to. You're just going to have to sit down and listen to this mess. And so I have to find a way to bring this to an end. But I hope you've enjoyed an evening sitting here with me. 5150. Telling you about beers that you'll probably never be in a position to try. But I'm sure wherever you are, you probably have access to several great brew pubs. And tell you what, why don't you go to one, try a few beers, not so many that you're going to get picked up on the way home, please. Bring some home and some growlers, and record a show and tell us about them. I know Ken would very much appreciate it. So would I. So would Ahuka. So would all the rest of us here at Hacker Public Radio. So please, go get you a beer. Why are you listening to me? Why aren't you in the car on the way to get a beer right now? Well, of course, you could be listening on portable player. So that's it. Quit. You know, if you're listening on the computer, transfer this to your portable player. Well, it's almost over anyway. Transfer the next one to your portable player. Jump up, get in your car, go to a brew pub, get a growler. Don't drink the growler till you get home. Don't drink it on the way home. Have you a nice couple beers with your meal while you're there. You know, have a nice evening, or, you know, even... Well, I was there at lunchtime. Well, middle of the afternoon. But it was my lunch. Nice little lunch, couple beers. Preferably friends, and, you know, you can all have different beers and tell us all about them. Great. So, you know, you'll have one trip to the brew pub, you'll just have several podcasts, because I'm sure you will get all your friends that you invite along with you. And they'll come if you pay. You know, each to record their own podcast. See, that's the way you get podcasts for HPR. You go to all your friends from work, or your friends, whatever, and college friends, whatever, and say, look, I found this great brew pub. We're all going to go, and I'm going to pay the bill. And the only thing you got to do is promise to record a beer review for Hacker Public Radio. Does that sound like a plan or what? Speaking of which, It's 11:45. I'm going to quit this mess. I'm going to sign off. I have been 5150, your host. This has been episode 2 of 5150 Shades of Beer. And we've been discussing the Wichita Brewing Company at 13th and Tyler in Wichita, Kansas. And, you know, I may have to see... Once I fully examine this one, there's other brew pubs. I'll have to figure out a way, to make an excuse to get to the rest of them. So, I have an assignment. You have an assignment. Buy beers for your friends and have them review them for Hacker Public Radio. I shall see you next time.
You've You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.